Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour two of Grant and Danny is underway. Friday night, hopefully we'll be seeing many of you out in Leesburg at the Tally Ho Theater. Should be a great time for 106.7 The Fan Live. We are live right now, and we're always live on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for me.
Jay Gruden meeting with the media in Mobile. Some news and notes on the Redskins offseason to this point. I started the conversation by talking about what he gets out of going to the Senior Bowl. Not every coach goes. As an example, Sean McVay is not there. Several other guys did not make the trip. Gruden likes going. It's a staple for him in his offseason structure. Here's why.
Basically, you come down here, you get to meet some other coaches here from other staffs and have some conversation about maybe how they do practice schedules and all that. And then you get to watch these guys run around and spin it. And then, you know, you make some notes on some guys that may have stood out. And then you get to go back. You're going to watch all the practice tape again over and over and over again and then all their game tape. So just being here, watching them in person, seeing how they look in pads is kind of important. But really, at the end of the day, we're going to really rely on the combine information and all their game tape information.
I didn't really think about it that way, but it is kind of like a convention where he gets to match wits with, talk with other coaches. Now, he said he was on the phone with his brother John right before doing an interview yesterday for a handful of minutes as well. But Gruden is still young at this thing. We always act like coaches have to have it all figured out. I was listening to an interview yesterday with Sean McDermott from the Bills about some of the self-evaluating he's going to do and things he's got to change in his first time as a head coach now after 1 year. Gruden was hired at 46 having never done this. I think he's gotten better. And part of it is that you've got to talk with other coaches. You sit there and you have an opportunity to go up to Mike Zimmer and say, hey, how do you guys run your practices? What do you do?
It's why every industry has conferences. It's why you do those sorts of things. It's, you know, professional development. Even if it's not taking a class in coaching, you still can pick something up. And also seeing some of these guys that may be on your roster firsthand and also, you know, getting a book on somebody. I mean, you think about some of the great hitters in league history had this diary that they kept about all the pitching, even guys that they were playing with at the time, because they might be your opponent one day. You, who knows, Jay Gruden might see a tendency this week from somebody that he's got to go up against at a certain point. These are the kind of things where information should never be treated as toxic. Gather it all. Do it.
Gruden was asked with Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph among some of the quarterbacks there. There are eight of them. If they're going to be scouting QBs at the Combine and at the Senior Bowl more than they normally would because of the uncertainty at the position?
No, not really. You know, I think anytime you're talking about your quarterback on a one-year contract, you got to look to make sure you have that position covered with possibly a young guy. We have Colt as a backup also, which is good. So, but you're looking at every position, really. Sitting at 13, it's a good spot, you know, but a lot of guys will be gone when we get to our pick, but there's going to be a lot of quality players. It's just a matter of what position we want to go with, and hopefully it'll be the best player.
I found that answer interesting because he was asked about quarterbacks. He started talking about quarterbacks, and then he said 13's a good spot. As if to say, if you need to draft a quarterback, 13 is a good area to do it. He was asked about not knowing if Cousins is coming back and what that is like. This was compelling, too.
I don't think there's feelings matter, really. I really don't. I just think it's a business decision for him and his family and for us. And he's got to know that we like him. We've put a lot of investments in him. We've put a lot of time into him. We worked very hard to try to make him a better quarterback, and he's done some great things for us to make us a better team. And I think the feelings are mutual. We both have strong feelings for one another, but at the end of the day, you know, it's all about what he wants to do and what he feels best for his family.
That was Gruden talking about whether or not he thinks Cousins wants to come back. Let's play this cut, though, on the uncertainty at the quarterback position. This, to me, was interesting, and I'll explain why in a second.
No, not really. You know, I think anytime you're talking about your quarterback on a one-year contract, you got to look to make sure you have that position covered with possibly a young guy. We have Colt as a backup also, which is good. So, but you're looking at every position, really. Sitting at 13, it's a good spot, you know, but a lot of guys will be gone when we get to our pick, but there's going to be a lot of quality players. It's just a matter of what position we want to go with, and hopefully it'll be the best player.
So he mentioned Colt there, and he mentions Colt a couple more times, as you heard. Not knowing Cousins is coming back, everyone says, and the way the question was phrased to him is basically like, should you be worried about this? Are you concerned? And he said why he isn't.
Well, it's odd, I guess, you know, but I think we do have some certainty. We do have a quarterback in the building that we can work with, and we know for sure that we have, you know, in Colt. And if we do get Kirk back, great. If not, then, you know, we have Colt in place, and we also have a good system in place. We feel like it's very quarterback friendly, and then whoever we get in here can make it work.
So this Colt situation is what I want to drill down on.
It's a thing.
He came back to Colt a bunch yesterday when asked about Cousins. I think when he talks about Colt McCoy, he is doing what coaches do. I think he is doing what Mike Shanahan did, Danny, when he staked his reputation on John Beck and Rex Grossman. I think he's doing what Jeff Fisher did when he said, we're cool with Sean Hill, we don't need to go in a different direction, and then they went and got another quarterback right after that press conference. Coaches lie all the time, and it's not a bad lie. It's basically like a lie in your life where you say what needs to be said sometimes to avoid some kind of issue. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. Say publicly what you need to keep the train on the tracks. He can't, with Colt under contract as his only QB under contract right now, say that Colt McCoy is not a starter. It also doesn't benefit him to say that. Now, do I think he thinks Colt is pretty good? Yeah, I do. Do I think he thinks that the drop-off from Kirk at $24 million to Colt at less than $2 million,
right,
is a good business venture for the Washington Redskins? Yeah, he probably thinks that that money saved would be beneficial. But I really don't think that Jay Gruden's master plan would be to have Colt McCoy as his starting quarterback this season. I think if he knows Kirk Cousins is out, which he'd prefer to have him back, I think he would advocate to go get a veteran. I think he would advocate to draft someone. There's zero chance, in my opinion, that Jay Gruden would say, we don't need to go get one. Let's bring in a backup. Colt's our starter. We're going to the playoffs with Colt McCoy. There's no way he thinks that.
Here's where I part company with you. Now, would he prefer somebody else? He's not crazy. He's not a complete dolt. Yeah, he'd rather have a marquee name. He'd rather have a big-time quarterback that's a Pro Bowler. Of course he would. He likes Colt more than you're giving him credit for. Here's my evidence. Whenever he could, he played Colt. The instant he could do it, he played Colt McCoy.
Not since 2014, though.
Right. When he had the choice, he was able to play Colt McCoy, and that's what he wants to do. He had to be talked into it. When the choice was between Robert Griffin, Colt McCoy, and Kirk Cousins, when they were all on quote-unquote equal footing, he played Colt. The reasons guys came out of the games was because inadequacy, he'd always go back to Colt.
Why not go to Colt in 2015, start of the year?
Because that's a Scott McLuhan influence. Now we're going to give a quarterback a chance to actually grow instead of yanking guys out of the lineup every 5 minutes.
But in theory, because I've always heard that Jay wanted to go with Colt, and that Gruden basically decided, okay, we'll go with Scott McLuhan's plan and Kirk Cousins. But if Jay Gruden really, at that time, he was, I would think, every bit as powerful with Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder as Scott McLuhan was, you would think he would have been able to go with Colt McCoy if he wanted to. Why didn't he do that then?
Because
he thinks he's so good.
The most important thing was that it was not Robert. That was the only fight he could win at that point, and he was finally able to do that. And they went with the guy that they drafted. So we knew what Colt McCoy was coming in. We still do. Jay Gruden's first order of business wasn't to say, I can't wait to work with Robert Griffin, I can't wait to work with Kirk Cousins. It was to go get Colt McCoy and make sure that everyone knew they had a third quarterback. No reason to have a third quarterback. See Sudfeld, Nate. He wants to play Colt McCoy. He loves the idea that he's going to take someone else's trash and turn it into a treasure. He loves the idea that he's going to show you how smart he is and how great he is at this thing, that they'll make Colt McCoy, the guy that nobody wanted, into this year's Case Keenum or this year's somebody else. He loves Colt McCoy. He can't stop referencing him. Even when he doesn't have to, he brings him up. In these comments, yes, you're right. He's doing a Mike Shanahan going, well, if we got to go with it, we'll go with Colt. We'll coach him up and see what happens. In that regard, yes, he's doing the Shanahan bit of praising whoever you have. Doesn't do you any good to be like, you got a guy in the building, sucks. We're not going to do that. I'm not saying he would. He's gone out of his way so many times over to make sure that you know the Colts are the same way he goes out of his way to bring up the Rob Kellys in the building. We all know what Rob Kelly
is. Here's what I can't get past, though. Do you agree with me? Because my assessment on Jay Gruden's thoughts on Kirk Cousins is that Jay doesn't love Kirk, and that Gruden on Cousins is, I don't want to say lukewarm. He thinks he's good. He doesn't think he's great.
Agree with that.
Okay. How can he possibly think Cousins is good, not great, and also think Colt McCoy is good?
This is a key thing.
There's no way Jay Gruden thinks Colt McCoy is more than a good backup. I just refuse to. I think he's too smart. I think too highly of his evaluations and his ability. We had Scott McLuhan on this show say he is the single best talent evaluator at Redskins Park still remaining.
Mm-hmm.
Scott McLuhan said that on our show and has told me subsequently since, the best guy they have at picking players is going to be Jay Gruden. He gets it. He's smart. He sees it. He's got an eye for it. Then he can't possibly think Colt McCoy is a franchise quarterback.
Though I think two things can be true. One, he can have the best eye. He can also be incorrect. I think that's okay
true,
at times.
But having a really good eye for talent wouldn't allow you to stake your future on a guy who's just not that good at the most important position on the field.
Well, but here's where it would. Their eye said, dude, Terrell Pryor's a number one. And that's how they came into the season. They threw the ball to Terrell Pryor 11 times.
I don't think they thought he was the number one.
They thought he was their best option on offense.
Well,
then he went away from it at
the beginning of the season.
Well, I would say
Josh Doctson never really developed. Ryan Grant's your other wide receiver. You got Crowder in the slot. They paid him 1 year and $6 million. They didn't give him a multi-year deal.
They didn't give him
a lot of money.
Well, he wasn't their best option. He was a disaster. And they went away from it right away. So before this injury happened that derailed the season, they said, you ain't getting 11 targets no more. Oh my God, what did we have? That's a missed evaluation. And I'm not killing him for it, by the way. Simply saying it happens. Telling me that Rob Kelly's the guy when we don't need anybody else. You did. You needed somebody else. But guys miss. Guys that are great. Scott McLuhan misses all the time.
There's a difference between having guys start or having guys as your number one option.
Right.
And thinking that they're great. They've never thought Rob Kelly's great. I can tell you that definitively.
Forget the specific for the general.
The point is, Stacey McGee and Terrell McLean are great. That just happens to be the guys they were able to
sign. I understand that, but great evaluators miss. That's the only point I'm trying to make. Even guys that are awesome at this miss all the time. And people love to point at Scott McLuhan's mistakes. Look at all the misses he had. Of course he has misses.
Right,
it's an inexact science.
Missing on a prospect who hasn't played yet, which evaluators do all the time.
Right.
This is saying that a guy who's been a backup and terrible most of his career is good. And my point is, I just think this is public speak that he feels like he needs to say until it's too late. Here's the question, though, and this is where we can open up the phones. At 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What do you think Jay Gruden actually thinks of Colt McCoy? It's a good way to phrase it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
Behind the scenes, you're not on the air if you're Jay Gruden. No one's going to find out. You're just having a drink, playing cards with John on vacation at a beach. In a month. And he says, what is Colt McCoy? How could you guys do with Colt McCoy for 16 games? What do you think Jay Gruden's answer is? I think this might be one of the most important questions of the offseason. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
And we also have a good system in place. We feel like it's very quarterback friendly. And then whoever we get in here can make it work.
Jay Gruden at the Senior Bowl yesterday. Going back to the Colt McCoy well. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. Booger McFarland makes his first appearance on the show in 12 minutes. We'll talk college football and NFL draft with him, some of the best prospects in the country who might be a fit here in Washington. What does Jay Gruden actually think of Colt McCoy? Has he been posturing over the last few years? Has he been talking positively about McCoy because it was the best thing to do for the Cousins negotiation? If you think about it, if you are potentially leaving your company and you are about to go back and forth with them with offers to try to see if you're going to stay or not, they're going to spend some time letting you know that they don't need you as much as you think they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that the guy who is your backup, the guy that would replace you at your job and your role, they actually think is really good. So it makes some sense that Jay Gruden would be saying these things, even just from a Cousins business standpoint. The question we need answered at 800-636-1067 is very simply, what does Gruden think of McCoy? I think if you gave him some truth serum, Jay Gruden would tell you, in my offense, Colt McCoy could put up some decent numbers, and we'd probably go 6-10 or 7-9 potentially. This past year with the injuries and the schedule, they might have gone 5-11, but in a lot of the close losses, the New Orleans game, the Minnesota game, the Kansas City game, those are actually uncompetitive blowouts. So the difference might only be a couple of games this past season as an example, but you're a way less competitive organization. I think Jay knows that. Otherwise, I don't think they would have paid Kirk Cousins $44 million the last 2 years with his input mattering. And let's play that cut real quick, Danny, before we get to your answer, because he actually was asked about his input and how responsible he is, how much he can basically dictate who comes and who goes. For 2 years, supposedly, he's saying he's been very influential, and they've paid Cousins $44 million. Why wouldn't you have just gone to Colt McCoy previously?
I'm involved. I think they listen to my opinion, you know, so I think so. It's kind of important. We all work together, really. It's a very good system that we have. You know, myself, Doug, the coaches, the position coaches, the coordinators, obviously Bruce, Eric Schaefer, we all work together. And at the end of the day, we will make a decision and do the best we can to get the players in here, but we can't sell the farm on everybody. You know, we have to try to do the best we can and making our team better, not just worrying about one or two guys.
So here's how I'd view this. He thinks Kirk Cousins the same way that Scott McLuhan does. Hey, guy's pretty good. Good system, good talent around him, good schemes. He'll thrive. He'll have some good numbers. It'll be less good if there are worse players around him, better if there are better players around him. He understands that. He's able to make that evaluation, again, the same way Scott McLuhan was. Here's what he thinks, and I think this is where you and I differ. Colt McCoy would get you a pretty good percentage of that same thing for $30 million cheaper. Let's do that. That's what he thinks. He's had that quote, you know, is Kirk $25 million better than Colt? That's on the table. He likes Colt McCoy. He didn't go get some random guy and then Discovery likes him. He sought out Colt McCoy and made sure he was part of it. I get a head coaching gig, that's fine. I'll keep your same defensive coordinator. You give me this little victory. Give me Colt McCoy. And the instant he could play him, he did.
I wonder if he went and got Colt because Colt was available or if it was because he loved Colt McCoy.
To be a third string quarterback? That's your desperation? Not a developmental guy. Not a Nate Sudfeld. Right. Not a Nathan Peterman. Not a Gabron Hamden. He went and got Colt McCoy as a third quarterback when there were two draft picks already under contract.
Yeah.
And he was brought in presumably to work with those guys. He couldn't wait to play Colt. He brought the time Colt was taken out was because the organization demanded that Robert Griffin play, and then Colt got hurt against the Giants because Colt always gets hurt. He loves Colt McCoy to the point that I think this is one of his weaknesses. This is his Achilles heel.
If he loved him as much as you think he does, Colt McCoy would have started week one 2015. Let's go to Larry in La Plata. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. I seriously think that Colt is Shanahan's Grossman. I think Gruden thinks that we can use him as a transition for the quarterback for the future. The problem is, and I don't see them bringing in Case Keenum or Sam Bradford, and I don't think the other quarterback will be available. The key, what has always dogged Colt McCoy, is he may be fearless in Jake Gruden's eyes, but he's injury prone. He's been injured everywhere he goes, to include here. So it becomes problematic if you're going to depend on Colt McCoy to be a transitional quarterback. Can he even stay healthy for an entire season?
Yeah, that's the problem with hitching your wagon to him, is that he's not going to play 16. In addition to the fact that he'll get sacked 1,000 times and fumble 800, I mean, he is going to probably not play the duration of the campaign. It's a good phone call, though. Let's go to Don in Ashburn. What's up, Don?
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, guys. I think kind of what you said, Grant, I think he likes Colt. And the reality is there's only going to be one of two people starting for this team next year, and it's going to be Colt or Kirk, and I think that this is Jay's way of saying that the possibility of Kirk not starting is real, and we believe in McCoy if that's the case. So I think he's just trying to make sure that Colt's not kind of lost in the shuffle and all this, that they believe in what his capabilities are. But I'll screw with the last guy, too. Colt's too, and what you guys said, Colt's too injury-prone to be a starter. So if he's starting, it's just a groom, a rookie.
Thanks, Don. The bridge option is kind of what we've heard from the last two callers. Quickly, I want your thoughts on this. From a bridge standpoint, does Jay Gruden have that luxury? There was rumblings about his job security this season.
That's right.
Incorrectly, in my opinion. I understand that he got an extra year on his deal. But after this season, there's only 2 years left on that deal. If he goes to Colt McCoy while they're grooming, I'll just pick Baker Mayfield, who they drafted 13.
Sure.
They go 4-12 this year with McCoy starting 5 games and then Mayfield starting 11, and you're going into next year with Baker Mayfield. If they have a terrible season this year, is Jay Gruden definitely back next year?
No. And that's the how the chain works. Somebody has to be the fall guy. Usually a head coach gets to pick a couple quarterbacks, gets to pick a couple defensive coordinators, then he goes. Then the general manager gets to pick a couple head coaches before he goes. That's usually how it goes. The Redskins don't do it that way. It's always cover your butt. You know, it wasn't my fault. Ask Larry Michael. The next thing you know, someone falls on the sword. So, no, there's no guarantee there. So, if I'm Jay, I would be desperate. I would be every day in Bruce Allen's office going, hey, how are we going to get Kirk back? How are we going to make sure Kirk is back? Because I know that's one extra win is worth an awful lot in the court of public opinion. But he doesn't seem to be feeling that way. So, he's thinking from a, by the way, the way I want my head coach to think, he's thinking a long-term organizational build philosophy. Where, yeah, we can deal with a bridge season that won't be as good to try to get to where we want to go. Maybe take a small step back to take a violent leap forward. I don't know, have more than 10 wins for the first time since 1991. He's thinking correctly. Most NFL coaches don't. They're in a survival business. Every win is worth that much more security to them, even if it is at the expense of further player development down the line. So I don't think he has that luxury. And I think it's a byproduct, again, of the Redskins kind of spinning their wheels in mediocrity.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We thoroughly enjoyed watching Booger McFarland on ESPN talking college football all year. He will join us next.
Nice.
We'll get his thoughts on some of the best players at the Senior Bowl who might stand out in this Saturday's game and who the Redskins should be considering with the 13th overall pick on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. The Senior Bowl's continuing in Mobile. Redskins coaching staff and evaluators trying to find a future star. We wanted to talk some college football and about some of the best talent in the country with one of the best college football analysts in the nation this past year. A guy we love watching on ESPN. You also see him on ABC and listen to him on SiriusXM. Booger McFarland is with us. Booger, thanks so much for hopping on the show. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. What's happening?
Not a whole lot. I guess I want to start with the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl and with Josh Allen. I'm fascinated by him. I haven't seen a lot of them, but here's what I know. When I look up his numbers, they're not impressive, and when I ask people around the NFL about him, they all rave about him. What's the disconnect with this dude?
Well, I think you have to look at the talent that was around him in Wyoming. I think a lot of people, if you can watch the tape, when you evaluate quarterbacks, you evaluate decision-making, you evaluate accuracy. The one thing you can't evaluate whether or not the guy catches the football, because some of the receivers that he was playing with may not have been NFL caliber. So I think when you look at the measurable, 6'5", 237, you look at how he throws the football, and you look at the talent he was playing with, maybe that's the reason why there's a disconnect, because oftentimes when the numbers don't add up to the talent, we think there's something there. Well, it's simply with Josh Allen that the talent around him in Wyoming wasn't that good.
Who are some guys that you really want to see thrive here at the Senior Bowl this week? Just guys that you're rooting for, maybe someone that you look at their career and say, man, they deserve a good showing because you're pulling, you're in that kid's corner.
Well, I think if you look at Baker Mayfield, I'm pulling for him because I want so bad for him not to be Johnny Manziel, because everything on the surface says ton of talent, kind of a knucklehead off the field. And that screams Johnny Manziel. I think when you look at him, number one, there's a defensive end out of Miami, Chad Thomas. I think he has all the measurables, all the athletic ability, all the skills, but he's got to put it together on the field. And if he can do that, then I think he'll have a great opportunity to play at the next level. So those are a couple of guys. One guy you probably heard of, the other you haven't, that I think have an opportunity to make a lot of money this week.
Booger McFarland, as good as anybody talking college football. Let's go back to Baker Mayfield for a second. First, what type of pro do you think he's going to be? Second, do you worry at all about some of the red flags and some of the character things that get brought up with him?
Well, I think when you start evaluating guys, their talent will tell you the floor. So if you look at the talent level that he has, that'll kind of tell you the very minimal amount you get. To me, the ceiling is always determined by the character. What kind of character does the guy have? Is he a first guy in, last guy out? Because that'll determine how good he can be. And I think when you look at Baker Mayfield, his floor, I think, is an average starting quarterback, which, I mean, there's probably a ton of them walking around. But can he be special? That's the thing you want to draft in the first round. You're not drafting a guy in the first round to be Josh McCown or Luke McCown. You're drafting a guy in the first round to be a franchise quarterback. I don't know if he can be that, because all I can go off of is what I've seen. I've seen videos of him running from the police. I've seen videos of him grabbing his crotch on the sideline. I've seen videos of him planting a flag and taunting other teams. Those are not things that you see ideally when you talk about franchise quarterbacks. So if history tells us anything, there's a certain way you have to act to be the guy that's in charge of the franchise. I haven't seen him act that way just yet. Now, that doesn't mean he can't change. However, usually a leopard doesn't change his spots. And I just wonder, as talented as he is, can he change when you give him more money and more time? I think that's the biggest question for Baker Mayfield.
The terrific Booger McFarland is with us here on Grant and Danny in D.C. Booger, let's go to the running back position. This is always one my co-host and I, Grant, always have a disagreement about. I'm pretty much a never draft a running back in the first round kind of guy. I got too many examples of David Johnson or Kareem Hunt this past year, Alvin Kamara, et cetera. That's where I want my value. How do you evaluate the running back spot with these guys that are taking some pretty good punishment? Someone like a Saquon Barkley or an SEC running back going against grown men, basically, you know, kind of each and every week. How do you evaluate running backs?
Here's what I'll tell you. If the Jacksonville Jaguars don't draft Leonard Fournette, they're not playing for the AFC title. Okay? So, I mean, if you're going to draft one that high, you better be right. If Ty Gurley's not playing for the Los Angeles Rams, they're not in the playoffs. As great as Jared Goff is, if he's not there, they're not in the playoffs. So, you know, Zeke Elliott, if Zeke Elliott wasn't there, the Cowboys would be a shell of what they are right now. So we can talk about finding diamonds in the rough all we want, but when there's a guy there that's special, like Zeke Elliott, like Gurley, like Leonard Fournette, like a Saquon Barkley, like a Darius guys, you better get those guys because they can change your entire franchise. Just look at what Gurley and Fournette and Elliott do. Because of those guys, now you're able to take so much off the quarterback. So now Dak Prescott, now Blake Bortles, now Jared Goff doesn't have to do it all by themselves. So, yeah, I hear you with the Kareem Hunt, the Alvin Kamara, but I tell you what, I'd much rather have Gurley, Fournette, and Zeke Elliott, then I would rather have Kamara or Kareem Hunt, because I think those guys, even though they've done some great things, the guys that I named, those guys, you can give it to them 25, 30 times a game for 16, 17 weeks, and they can change your franchise.
You can tell why Booger McFarland works for everybody, because he's good. Played at LSU, you remember him from the Tampa Bay Bucks, went into Super Bowl, finished his career, I don't know how many people remember, back in 06 with the Indianapolis Colts, and he's with us here on Grant and Danny. So you played up front on the line, and I'm curious about line play. As you know, the Redskins have major needs. And when we watch the playoffs, it's just one defense after another that wrecks the interior with pass rush and collapses the pocket. Is Vita Vea as good as advertised? And are there other players in that mid-first-round mix that you think would be worthwhile as down defensive linemen, even in a 34, you know, being drafted by the Redskins at number 13?
I like Vita Vea. I only like him, though, in a 3-4 defense. I don't like him in a 4-3. Because in a 4-3, you're going to try or you need to get into your pass rush. Vita Vea is not a pass rush. What he is a guy that can play first down, second down, and occasionally he'll get you a rush on third down. If you're running a 34 defense and you want the second coming of Haloti Ngata or Vince Wilfork or somebody like that, then you draft Vita Vea, you put him in nose guard, and you say, I got my guy for the next 5 to 10 years. If you're looking for Ndamukong Suh, if you're looking for Aaron Donald, if you're looking for Gerald McCoy in a 4-3 defense, then Vita Vea is not your guy. I like Vita Vea. He's more athletic than you would think. But the bottom line, when you play a 4-3, you have to. It's imperative to get pass rush from your interior guys, and Vita Vea is just not a great pass rusher at the moment.
What about a D-tackle that can rush the quarterback? Is there anyone you saw this year that you think could turn into someone like more like that Ndamukong Suh type?
I think the kid at Alabama, Deron Payne, has all the skills. He's got quick feet. He's got hip movement. To me, he's a guy that, as long as he doesn't get too big, as long as he's in the 290 to 300 range, he can rush the passer. There's a kid that I got down here in Tampa now that I'm working with. He probably won't go in the first two or three rounds, but you can get him. And I think if you get him, he will be a steal. A guy from NC State named Kentavious Street. He's about 6'1". He's about 290. He'll remind you of Aaron Donald. He'll remind you of a baby Booger back in the day. He's got a first step that's quick. He'll run 4.6 in the 40 at the combine.
Wow.
And you look at him and you'll say, you know what? This guy can't play, but you put him in three technique and I dare anybody to block it. If you want interior pass rush, you got to get some guys that are dancing bears inside. You don't need guys that are 6'5 and 330. You need guys that are 6'2 and 280, 285 that can get up the field, that can create havoc. You look at Malik Jackson. Malik Jackson for the Jaguars, he's about 285. You look at the guys that rush inside. Name the guys in the NFL that can rush the passer inside, and they're all about 285, 290. It's hard to rush the passer at 320. So that's just a couple of guys that I've had my eye on that I think that can do the job on the interior.
Sign me up for that baby booger situation. I'm all in on that, man.
Yeah,
I would go for it. Booger, my last one for you. Among you mentioned some of these defensive players. Give me your favorite couple of guys in this draft, regardless of position, on the defensive side of the football. People are talking about James, safety from Florida State. Is it Bradley Chubb, defensive end? Give me a couple of guys that you really like.
Well, you know, for me, I like the linebacker from Alabama, Rashawn Evans. I think he's a guy that you can put him in at day one as a 3-4 outside linebacker. He can rush the passer. He can drop in the coverage. He'll be there 10 years. I think he understands how to play. He has great body lean. He has great torque. He has the ability to turn the corner. And I think the most underrated player in the draft, if you're really going to ask me just about value, about guys that you can get later in the round, as I spoke to earlier, I like the kid Chad Thomas out of Miami because I think he's a defensive end that will not probably go very high. I think he'll probably be a second-round guy, but to me, he's a three-down player. And anytime you draft a guy in the first two to three rounds, I want guys that can play every down. I'll start drafting my specialty guys later in the draft, and so between Evans and Chad Thomas, I think those are a couple of guys. I think the safest pick in the draft, guys, I know you didn't ask this, but I think the pick you could make and you could sleep very comfortable at night is the offensive guard from Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson. You draft him, you put him at right guard, and you go to sleep and you realize that one-fifth of your offensive line is taken care of for the next 10 years.
Booger McFarland is a stud. When you're talking college football, you want him in the conversation. Thanks, man. We really appreciate the time and enjoy getting ready for the draft with some of those prospects.
It was great, bud. Thanks.
Anytime. Later.
Booger McFarland on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll make some sense of what we just heard from him next. Also, get to our double play. I've got a development from a car insurance company.
I got a happy anniversary.
Ooh, big time anniversary?
Yeah, it's a big one.
Beltway Blitz at noon. Double plays next on The Fan. One o'clock today, the big one. We'll look ahead to Super Bowl 52. 11 days out, Cordell Stewart will be on the show. Cordell Stewart was so fun to watch back in the day. Those Steelers teams were fun. That was Jerome Bettis, Yancey Thigpen. That was, I'm trying to think, LeVon Kirkland maybe.
So much LeVon Kirkland.
I'm trying to think of a random member of that defense. Was that Kimo Van Olhoffen? Was it? No, that was probably before
a little bit later.
Jason Gilden, great call by Tommy.
They led the league in enormous linebackers that came downhill.
Yeah. I always was amazed by Kirkland, like just his size. You see these pictures of him now, and he's got a little bit of a gut as basically a guy who ran all over the place coming off the edge. Players don't look like that anymore.
I know. Everybody's gotten sleeker, faster, more athletic. I mean, the James Harrisons of the world, you don't see as many anymore. Guys that like lift trucks to get in shape. That's what LeVon Kirkland was.
I love those badass Steelers teams. We'll talk to Cordell Stewart not only about that, but about the Super Bowl matchup, the Eagles, the Patriots, and what he's expecting at 1 o'clock today. Let's get to our double play. Do you text and drive? That is the question. If you text and drive, your car insurance could go up. This is from CNN's money site. Arity, a unit of insurance giant Allstate, is tracking in-car smartphone use so that insurance companies can either punish or reward drivers depending on how they use their smartphone while driving. The technology works by using the smartphone's accelerometer, whatever that is.
Basically, sounds like a made-up word, doesn't it?
It does, but it determines like how fast you're moving based on your phone, likely in a driver's hand or lying flat on the surface. Arity can also tell whether the phone is unlocked and apps are being used. So when the phone is traveling at a certain rate of speed, a la as it pertains to vis-a-vis driving, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're on your phone while you're driving, Allstate can find out and they can raise your insurance rates. Now, here are some of the questions that I've got. Number one, how would they know if I'm driving or in the passenger seat?
Yeah, what if I'm riding in the back of an Uber? An Uber.
If I'm in the back of an Uber, or if I'm just riding next to my fiance who's driving, or if I'm sitting in the back seat on a road trip, I might be on my phone the entire 4 hours.
How do you know that?
How are they going to be able to determine that? I need someone to answer that. Allstate may soon use technology to determine consumers' car insurance rates. In a statement, it described the technology as a way to promote safe driving.
I love that.
Arity analyzed data from 160 million trips by hundreds of thousands of Allstate drivers. What it found confirmed research showing that drivers are on their phones and that when you are on your phone, you're more dangerous behind the wheel. Shocker.
Yeah, 100%.
Arity then went a step further and used Allstate claims data to see how expensive distracted driving is. It says it found that the most distracted drivers cost insurance companies 160% more than the least distracted drivers. I got rear-ended yesterday on my way to work. It was a complete nothing situation. I got tapped from behind, although I will say it's still fairly jarring.
Yeah.
It's weird how you get tapped and like your back hurts for a couple hours.
Dude, it's not nothing.
But I'm sure what happened is the girl behind me, who was very nice, and we went our separate ways, and we'll never talk again, I'm sure. She got out of her car and was like, I'm so sorry. She's on her way to work. I'm on my way to work. She was on her phone, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or doing something that wasn't paying any attention. We're stopped basically in bumper-to-bumper traffic. She sees the lane next to us move, so she hits her gas pretty hard. And she rams into me at 5 miles an hour. That's what happened. If you're on your phone, you're a worse driver. We all know this.
Absolutely.
I would need to know how you determine whether you're driving or not being on your phone. Also, I feel like this is a really bad look. Like, if you're an Uber driver or you're driving Lyft, you're on your phone all the time.
Yeah, how does it work?
You're using those apps. I need more intel. Generally, I like the idea behind this. I think it's impossible to execute, and I would not have Allstate if they raised my insurance based on my phone usage.
So some people will cry that it's an invasion of privacy. Invasion of privacy to me applies like I'm at home and like the Xbox is watching. That's invasion of privacy.
I think invasion of privacy would be if they knew what you were doing on your phone. Just knowing that I'm using an app.
Yeah.
Okay. If you can see what I'm doing on my phone, I got a problem with that.
I think that's fair. That's a fair distinction. But my point is, you don't get the privacy protection anymore when you're endangering other people. Because at a low level, it's, oh, Grant got rear-ended, and that causes a small amount of fender damage, and someone's got to file a claim, and it gets fixed, right? That's on the low end. On the high end, people die. When you are unsafe, and there's an unsafe practice that can be fixed or improved, I'm all for that. Like, drunk driving, I think there should be, you should have to blow into a breathalyzer every time you step behind the wheel. I 100% believe that, by the way. You clean up a lot of the drunk driving out of convenience.
Like, every person, every time they
every
drive.
Every person, every time.
Should have to blow in. I would be fine with that. As someone who never drives if I've had any alcohol.
Yeah, because, I've grown up an awful lot, but I used to do that. Because, you know what? Finding a cab at 2 o'clock in the morning was too hard. Screw it, it's a short distance. I have done it, and I regret it. Because I was putting people in danger, including myself. Absolutely, they should do that. But beyond that, I'm all in favor of trying to make things safer before you invade privacy.
I would hope that they're able to tell what app you're on because, I mean, I have like my GPS up sometimes. I have...
That's a great point.
You know, Pandora or Spotify or a podcast up.
Well, they might claim, and I don't know, they don't say this in this story, but that's... You're using your smartphone, you're on an app, you're a distracted driver, your rates go up. I use my GPS, to your point, everywhere I go, every single time. Now, I won't do it today going home from here because I do that every single day. But, like, if I was going to NBC Sports Washington and I have to go through the city and all those terrible roads that Danny takes, if I get detoured once, I'm a disaster and I'm petrified. And I will every single time plug it in and I'll just ride around with my GPS on all the time. I don't have one in my car, or I don't use the one in my car, and a lot of people don't have one. So I agree with you. That's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have Apple CarPlay, so, like, my car, like, screen is just my phone.
Yeah, you put your phone on the screen.
Yeah, right. So like I can just, you know, tap things on the screen rather than using my phone. So that's clearly me using my phone. Is that going to raise my rates just because I have better technology?
I need the distinction between looking at your phone and texting.
Correct.
That versus using a GPS.
That's the problem they're going to have. And maybe it's as simple as they could figure out who texts the most while they drive, and you could ding them with some kind of fee for being a texting driver. The problem is still then, it's a 3-foot difference between the driver's seat and the passenger seat. Are you able to tell in that car? I doubt you probably can. Beltway Blitz at noon comes your way in moments. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Folks, Ted Britford, that's where I go to do my car shopping. I've been twice in the last 2 years. As proof, it's in the pudding, or it's in my 2017 Ford Fusion or the 2016 Ford Edge. I got those in 2017, 2016, respectively. I put my money where my mouth was. And here's what happened. I went to Tedbird Ford, and I loved it. I liked it so much, I went back again because I got a great deal, a great car, at a great price, and I was taken care of. Not because I'm so great, but exactly. Nope, just a regular dude, just like you. Go see him at Tedbird Ford. They will take great care of you. Right now, up to 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. That means 130% in your hand. Then you can apply it and get yourself a great deal, an even better deal on some already discounted cars. How about a 2018 F-150 pickup, $249 a month lease deal, or take up to $11,000 off the MSRP when you buy that Bad Jackson. 2018 Ford Explorer, just $230 a month lease deal, or you could save up to $10,000 off the MSRP when you buy. When you go to Fairfax or Chantilly, Tedbird Ford, do me this personal favor. Just tell them.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.